This morning, I want us to see that the Christian walk in general, but more specifically spiritual leaders, can have certainty in the one who holds the future, even when we're uncertain in what the future holds. Christians can have certainty in the one who holds the future, even when the future seems quite uncertain. We can have certainty in the one who holds our future. We can have peace. And this morning in Acts 20, we're going to look at the first part, as I've titled it, of spiritual leadership. I sometimes map the texts through and on dates and calendars and plan things out. But when I get to the text, sometimes the Lord supersedes and says, you can't fly through this too quickly. And I don't know if you know this, but today is Pentecost Sunday. It's 50 days or 7 weeks after the Passover time and Jesus' resurrection. So when you think of the book of Acts, and Acts chapter 2, when the Spirit comes and falls on those first believers, that was Pentecost Sunday. And I thought, we need to look at leadership, which is a heartbeat of this text. But what is even underlying the leadership in Acts chapter 20 is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We can have certainty in the future because God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit are in full control of all that happens. We know who holds the future. And God has given us that Holy Spirit. And He, we will see this morning, is the one who initiates any power within us. He guides us. He provides for us. So before we look at the text, I just want to open us in prayer and ask God through His Holy Spirit to show us how the Spirit works in us, in those who believe in Jesus Christ. Father God, I pray that You would use Your word, You would use this message, as we see just a little glimpse of the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the Apostle Paul, in the life of the leaders in Ephesus, but in the life of each one of us. Lord, help us to see that we know the one who holds the future. We can trust in You, even when we don't know what the future may bring. We can be certain in the one who is in control of what comes. May You speak through me. May Your Spirit be used in me to glorify You, God. May Your word be glorified for all of the days of Pleasant Hill Baptist Church. And may that power found in Your word change hearts and change lives, bring people out of darkness into the light, and bring believers into what we sang, a closer walk with Thee, a nearness to God, a walking in step with the Spirit. Only You can do this. So we pray, Lord, we need You. In Jesus' name, amen. February 11th, 1861. Okay, who knows what that was? That was the day before my birthday, although I would come much, much later. But that was the day when Abraham Lincoln was to get on a train to go from, Springfield. Yes, it was Springfield. Springfield, Illinois, to Washington to be inaugurated. And as he's getting on the train, he gave this short speech, kind of his farewell address to the people he had grown up with for 25 years. He had shares, well, I'll just read it to you because he shares to his dearest of friends. He says there in Springfield, Illinois in 1861, "Friends, no one has never been placed in a like no one who has never been placed in a like position can understand my feelings at this hour, nor the oppressive sadness I feel at this parting. For more than a quarter of a century I have lived among you, and during all that time I have received nothing but kindness at your hands. Here I have lived from my youth until now. I am an old man. Here the most sacred ties of earth were assumed. Here all my children were born. And here one of them lies buried. To you, dear friends, I owe all that I have, all that I am. All the strange checkered past seems to crowd now upon my mind. Today I leave you. I go to assume a task more difficult than that which devolved upon General Washington. Unless the great God who assisted him shall be with and aid me, I must fail. But if the same omniscient mind and almighty arm that directed and protected him shall guide and support me, I shall not fail. I shall succeed. Let us all pray that the God of our fathers may not forsake us now." And he goes on. Abraham Lincoln, President of the United States, 1861, he says, "Unless the great God who assisted him, that is George Washington, shall be with and aid me," he doesn't say, "I will fail, I must fail." This man understood that without the aid of God on his side, he could not do what he was called to do, to be the next president. His farewell address to the people in Springfield, Illinois. The Apostle Paul here gives us a farewell address as he, for the last time, meets with leaders of Ephesus, elders. And as we read through this, tears and weeping are part of this goodbye. And I think Paul would very much have the same words. "Unless God aids me and is with me, I must fail." But he tells these leaders, "I must go to Jerusalem." Let's read verses 17 through 38. And I'm just going to briefly unpack three characteristics of the Holy Spirit, the one who holds our future and who is leading and guiding us and is in us. And we're going to see a little bit of that this morning in Acts 20. Look at verse 17. "Now from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church to come to him." So they're going about 100 more miles south from Ephesus to this port, this station where Paul has stopped in Miletus. "And when they had come to him, he said to them," so here is Paul's farewell address, "You yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews, how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and to Greeks of repentance toward God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now behold, I am going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. But I do not account my life of any value, nor is precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And now behold, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again. This is his last time with them. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all of you. For I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my necessities and to those who are with me. In all things, I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." And when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. And there was much weeping on the part of all. They embraced Paul and kissed him, being sorrowful most of all because of the word he had spoken, that they would not see his face again. And they accompanied him to the ship. And there we end chapter 20, and we will head into this new whole section of Paul and the trials and persecutions that await. This is a large section, and I just felt like God wanted me to boil it down to seeing behind even Paul's admonition and encouragement as a leader to these elders in Ephesus, we see the one who is truly behind the scenes leading and working, and that is the Holy Spirit. The leadership that Paul exhibits here this morning is leadership only found by the leading of the Spirit. The apostle could not do this in his own strength, and he never tries to receive any credit for it. The Spirit is the one who began work in Paul. If you were to look at Acts chapter 9, verses 17 through 19, you'll remember when he is visited and prayed over, and it says the Spirit came upon him and the scales fell from his eyes and he could see again. And he went about, maybe immediately, proclaiming the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember this man, one who hated the church, who wanted to see Christians die by the sword, die by the lions, die by the arenas. And here we see how, first off, the Holy Spirit is always the one who initiates. He's always the one who acts first. He's always the one who stops us in our tracks. And he stopped the Apostle Paul in his tracks on his way to Damascus, falls to the ground. Jesus confronts him. "Why, Paul, are you persecuting me?" And as you read that account, in that room, as he's blind, the Lord opens his eyes, the Spirit of God comes in and changes the whole rest of the Apostle Paul's life and ministry. From day to day, from that moment on, from that day when Jesus met Paul, the Holy Spirit was working in him. We need to be certain and convinced, and even on our hardest days, know that the Spirit of God is working in you day by day. You might say, "Oh, really? I've asked for these things and I was really hoping that it'd all be changed tomorrow. But he's working in us in small increments, making us more like Jesus Christ, the Son of God, till one day we will see the face of Jesus Christ for those of us who have trusted in Jesus. The Spirit of God is working in us day by day. Jesus left us with a promise. He said he would send us a helper in John 14:16. That helper would guide us and lead us. We see different parts of the Spirit working in Paul in Acts. We saw there in Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 18, God reminds Paul, don't worry, I have many in this city who will come to Christ. You remember that story? He's way down, wondering what the Lord's going to do with him in Ephesus. And God reminds him, I have many in this city who are mine. He will remind him again when he gets close to Jerusalem, and more tell him, trials and persecution are coming, Paul. Why are you going to Jerusalem? And the Lord meets him again and says, don't worry, Paul, you will make it to Rome. Yes, you will experience imprisonment in Jerusalem, but you will get to Rome, your desire. And Acts 27, he says again to Paul, I am with you. You don't need to be afraid. I am working in you. Why did God have to come to Paul? We think, oh yeah, he was probably stellar, convinced all the time, sure, had this great assurance. No, he needed to be reminded by God and by the Spirit. I am with you. I am working with you, Paul. I am working on you. I have many in this city that God is going to change. The Apostle Paul needed God's reminder that the Holy Spirit was in him, doing a great work in him. Just a few more things that the Holy Spirit does as he works in us. John 3:5-8, Jesus says, unless you be born of the water and of the Spirit, born physically and then born spiritually, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. The Holy Spirit is the one who births us of the Spirit. He regenerates us. That's a long, big word. It basically just means, you know, like jump-starting your car. Something that has no energy, that's completely dead, putting juice back into it. That's a terrible way to talk about jump-starting a car. But connecting power back in and hearing that rev up. I'm sure for all of us, we've been at a point where we're glad that someone came along and jump-started us, got our car running again. The Holy Spirit regenerates us, jump-starts our cold, hard hearts to be changed forever. He regenerates us. Jesus says, I will be with you always at the end of his ministry in Matthew 28:20. The Spirit is in us. Jesus prays in John 13:14-17, all about the Holy Spirit. And in John 17, he says, I will be in you, and you will be in me. And my Father will be a part of this. And that is his prayer for us. He is in us. The Holy Spirit dwells in us. He empowers us. 1 Thessalonians 1:5 says, the gospel came to you in power and in the Holy Spirit. He is working in us. Philippians 2:12 says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you. He is washing you and renewing you, as Titus 3:5-6 says. The Holy Spirit is working on us, even when it seems small and incremental. He was with Paul. Well, how can I say this? Look what the Spirit did in verse 22. And now behold, I am going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit. That word there means I was laid hold of. I was bound. The Spirit got a hold of me, and I just can't go another direction. I must go to Jerusalem. I don't know why. I know it's going to be trials and persecution, but the Spirit has bound me up to go there. That's the Spirit's work. He has us. He holds us. He is with us. He initiated and has done the work in us. Just like the Apostle Paul, to lift the scales from our eyes. Help us to see truth. And that's where we get to the second point. The Holy Spirit guides us. John 16, 13 through 15 says, He guides us into all the truth and teaches us all that is true. He leads us to finish the course before us. He will be with you every step of the way. He's not just working in you, but there is a course that we all have to finish. And you are not going at it alone. Romans 8:27 says the Spirit intercedes for the saints. In that same verse and section of Romans 8, it says, we pray to the Lord, but even in our feeble words, the Spirit takes those words and prays to the Lord, even with groanings that we don't understand. He understands us better than we understand ourselves. I'm trying to give you a little overview of what the Spirit does in our life, but I'm only touching the surface. He illumines our darkness. 1 Corinthians 2:10 says, God has revealed to us all things because the Spirit searches everything. The Spirit even knows the mind of God. And that is the Spirit that has been put inside of us for those who have trusted in Jesus. The Spirit has set us apart. We're called temples of the Holy Spirit. We were once walking our own path, with our own plans and our own future and our own schemes and our own, whatever, retirement plans. And maybe God changed that for you. Maybe He's going to change that for you. He sets us apart for kingdom purposes. He sets us apart to be lights. He comes alongside of us. We're not on this course of life by ourselves. Look at what Paul says. He's first constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to him there. And then verse 23, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me. So the Spirit is teaching Paul, giving him witness and truth in his own heart. He testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. We don't want that message. We don't want the Spirit confirming to us, teaching us, yes, trial awaits you. But Jesus himself said, in this world, you will have troubles. But I have overcome the world. The Spirit of God in believers reminds us that we're not alone in any of our problems, in any of our trials. In the hospital, on the hospital bed, we're not alone. We have a church body. We have multiple churches praying for you. The Spirit is with you. I love Galatians 5:25. It talks of the fruit of the Spirit, but it uses this phrase, let us keep in step with the Spirit. He is the one who comes alongside, and like a helper, like someone who walks with us, is the Spirit of God. That he is in step, walking alongside. Let's not lose the step of the Spirit. He teaches us. He leads us to finish the course that we have before us. That he who began a good work in us, he will complete it. Philippians 1:6 gives us that promise. The Lord has started something in us. And what a beautiful promise. Philippians 1:6. He will complete it. That's the Holy Spirit's ministry. He will be with us always and forever. He is working on us and in us day by day. He is the one who will guide us to finish our course. Look at what Paul says in verse 24. But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Paul himself says, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Do you remember Paul's testimony to Timothy? 2 Timothy 4, he says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Even that metaphor, life is a course, a race. And there's hurdles, and there's routes, and there's detours. And Paul says, I got to the end. I have finished what God has called me to. That's the Spirit of God in Paul, leading him to run his race. The Holy Spirit is guiding us in this race, in this course that we have. And he has promised he will never leave us. Third, though, the Holy Spirit... Sorry. The Holy Spirit... The Holy Spirit will teach you, because I apparently can't anymore. That's my third point. The Holy Spirit provides. Look a little bit further, and I know this is just a little section of what Paul is saying, but as I've called this spiritual leadership, we're looking at what spiritual means, and next week we're going to look at what leadership means. Because leadership has to begin with spiritual, the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the leader. And look at what verse 28 says as Paul continues, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God. The Holy Spirit provides. As Paul's going to Jerusalem toward persecution, the Holy Spirit is going to come alongside and encourage him and speak to him and provide for all of his needs. The Holy Spirit is going to provide you with what you need for whatever lies ahead. Our prayers go out to this young couple in our church, and God is going to provide, however it might look. He will be with them. He will be with us. We can actually be models of the Spirit's work by coming alongside of each other. That's the calling of the church, to stir one another up to love and good deeds, to shake a hand, to say, it's so good to see you this morning. That's what the Holy Spirit is doing. He's providing for us in all ways. I'll just give you a brief synopsis. Isaiah 11:2 says, the Spirit is full of wisdom and understanding, counsel and might, knowledge and the fear of the Lord. The Spirit of God gives us wisdom. Isaiah 11:2. That's a beautiful passage. Out of our heart will flow streams of living water. Remember when Jesus said that in John 7? The Spirit gives us power. We looked in Acts chapter 1, Jesus promised to the disciples, I'm not going to leave you alone. You will be my witnesses and you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Romans chapter 8, verse 6 says the Spirit provides us peace. He helps us in our weaknesses. Later on in that chapter in Romans 8, He gives us the fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians 5, love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, self-control. We can't do any of those things without the Spirit providing and helping us for whatever lies ahead. And of course, Paul speaks much of in 1 Corinthians of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. In chapter 12, whether it be service or administration or truth-telling. And he goes on and on. And he speaks, I love the language, that the head and the eyes, you know, the ones who seem to control the body, you know, look and figure out where we need to go and make decisions. Well, they're just as part of the body as the hands and the feet. And sometimes I think, I was reading this illustration, I think it's really funny. The hand or the foot might say, well, I'm just a hand and a foot. I'm not the important head. I'm not the mind. I'm not the thinking brain. I'm just the hands. Well, the mind and the brain, we can look around as much as we want, but if we don't have any hands and feet, we can't do anything. All these great ideas and can't do anything about it. Oh, how crucial the hands and the feet and the legs and the arms are. Every part of the body important to God and important in the church. Don't ever say, oh, well, I'm just not the eyes or the head or those important parts. Paul actually, the apostle says, it's those ones that seem hidden and unnecessary that are vital, that keep things going. We can't help anyone if we don't have hands to serve. We can't do missions and ministry if there's no feet to go and walk and run. The Spirit gives us gifts, and He provides whatever is needed for whatever lies ahead. And I'll just say this as a close. It's not in there, but the Holy Spirit gets the glory. Paul, the apostle, he was always pointing to God, to Christ. He speaks of the Spirit leading him. I must go to Jerusalem. He speaks of the Spirit making these leaders to be overseers. It says, whom the Holy Spirit made you to be overseers, to shepherd the flock of God. All of us, congregants, leaders, we must have a posture that God gets the glory, that He is the one doing all of this, that He raises up leaders. He makes people to be overseers and shepherds and those who care for the flock and protect the flock and watch out for the flock. That word overseer is a title given to Jesus Himself. And I think that's a great place to end. We look to the one that the Holy Spirit magnifies. The Spirit didn't come to get all the glory, even as part of the Trinity. The Spirit pointed all glory back to the Son, Jesus Christ. That's what John 16 says. He came to glorify the Son. And 1 Corinthians 15:24 says, there will be a day when the Son will take the church, and before God, He will glorify the Father and give the church, his bride, to his Father. The whole Trinity is all about exalting and magnifying the other. The Spirit glorifies the Son glorifies the Father highlights and glorifies the work of the Spirit and the work of the Son. And it is the Son, as it says in Scripture, who is our shepherd and overseer of our souls. 1 Peter 2:24. He shepherds us, and he's our overseer. He's watching the flock. He's protecting it. He's guarding the gate. He's caring for his sheep. He's making sure they're fed. And he sent us a helper, the Holy Spirit. He is the one who helps us walk day by day. He leads us to finish our course set out for us. And he provides what we need for whatever lies ahead for us. We don't take the credit for any of it. And Paul didn't either. He speaks in terms of, this is what the Holy Spirit is doing in me. Today, would you go out encouraged that he is with you day by day? He is providing what you need. And when the trial comes or the blessing comes, it is from him. And he will be with you to finish your course. He will be with me to see that I persevere, that I stay faithful, that I love the Lord the rest of my days. And that is true for all of us. Amen? Amen. The Spirit and his work is a glorious thing. He gets the credit, not us. Let's pray. Oh, Father, in Paul, the apostle, in his farewell address, even as a spiritual leader, he first reminds these elders in Ephesus that it is the Spirit in Paul that is doing all these things. And Lord, I just have to be humbled and remind myself, I can do nothing. I will fail if you are not in it, Lord. If your Spirit is not here in this church, moving in this church, awakening hearts, reviving hearts, taking people out of darkness and into the light, bringing others from Pleasant Hill and Goshen and Dexter and bringing them into the light, if you do not do that, our church will not stand. So God, we need you. We need the Holy Spirit. We need your power to work mightily in this body, in this family of God. And Lord, even just seeing over the weekend how prayers are being answered and your power is moving, we pray, Lord, that you would continue that good work. Show us grace through this week. And Lord, help us to celebrate as a church the things that are worth celebrating, the works that you are doing, baptisms and salvations and people gaining and healing from physical infirmities. Oh God, only you can do this and only you get the credit and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.